Hey, all you groovy cats and kittens out there in podcast land. We'd really appreciate it if you could support the show. It means we don't have to take on advertisers. Just go to explorationsearlylearning.com, click on the Support Our Work tab, and make a selection. Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio. In studio, we've got Tasha Johnson.
Aloha.
And Lisa Murphy.
Hello.
And Lisa Murphy's got a philosophical rant. Go.
Actually, I don't have a rant.
Oh.
Well, cramp. I have a philosophical cramp. No, before I got here.
Oh, man, that hurts so much.
Don't you hate it when you're philosophical cramps?
Oh, existentialism.
Oh. What do you take for that? Do you take Advil or absinthe? Oh, wow.
Whiskey usually gets me through.
Through your philosophical cramp. No, I asked Facebook, as I always do, hey, I'm distracted because I think I have to cough. Hold on. And so I asked Facebook, hey, you know, going to be in the studio, give us some topics for us to talk about while we're out there recording. And one of them was, I'd like to hear an overview of the philosophies. You know, what do you think about Montessori? What do you think about RIE? What do you think about? What do you think about? What do you think about? So it made it to the board of possible topics, the whiteboard. And last night I took a picture of it and I put it out there and said, decisions, decisions. Let's put this to a vote. What should we talk about tomorrow? And we got a couple of hits that said that they wanted to hear us have a philosophical rant. So I'm not sure if it's a rant per se. I mean, I've got lots of things to say about...
I wrote a rant down. That's going to be the title, a philosophical rant. So there better be some ranting.
Some ranting? Well, I can rant a little bit about stuff. Mostly, I think that if you, as a listener, are aligned with a 100% dyed-in-the-wool existing philosophy, I think you have an obligation and a responsibility to be familiar with the major contributions, the major tenets, and a little bit about perhaps the person who is credited with creating said philosophy. And that would be, for me, a little bit of a rant. I get a little antsy when people who claim to be Montessori-based don't know there's a woman named Maria Montessori. And, you know, frequent listeners will have heard me talk about this.
Minimally, that would seem to be something you should know.
You'd think, but, and, you know, again, I don't want to be the broken record here, but I have called schools before and have been like, hey, so what makes you Montessori? And they're like, because kids work on carpets.
Because it says so on the sign.
Because it says that we're Montessori on the sign, right, exactly. Because anybody can hang a sign that says Montessori, and because it's not trademarked legally and it's never been enforced, blah, 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 anybody can hang a shingle that says we're a Montessori school and have absolutely no understanding.
So after you're dead, is there going to be a lot of Murphy programs springing up?
I don't know. Oh, my gosh. Well, and if they, I don't even know what that would look like. You know, what would it look like if you had an incorrect understanding of what Lisa Murphy was out there talking about? But see, that's kind of the point, is that if you are aligned with best practice and doing what children need from us as caregivers, it is a blend of the major contributions from those key, you know, I think, philosophies. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if we're going to be ranting, I think the idea that programs are sticking some of these words onto their signs and their letterheads and their programs because they've become buzzwords and they aren't having anything to do with the actual philosophy. In some cases, it becomes a marketing tool.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Montessori is probably the number one that's guilty of that, right?
Reggio stuff, right? I could
rant quite a bit about our superficial understanding, and I use understanding very loosely, our superficial, hello, tell them you're working. Jeff's phone is ringing in case you can't hear that.
Don't know who'd call me.
I mean, we're all here.
Everybody I know is in the room.
But it, it shows that we have such a narrow understanding of what a lot of these things are about. You know, you don't become Montessori just because you have a pink tower, you know, and we were in one program and they're like, well, we're not allowed to have dress up because, you know, Maria didn't, you know, specifically write about that. And it's like, okay, you know, but have you ever read it? You know, with if you elevate what Montessori brought to the table and, you know, extrapolate it and apply it to what current programming looks like, you know, is there room for the philosophies to evolve after the initial, you know, creator has moved on, you know, and that's a conversation to have.
Well, at some point. Do you think Maria would be doing everything that she wrote about if she had access to the research that had been done in the last 20 years?
Well, exactly. And that's what some of the more progressive dyed-in-the-wool Montessorians are saying, is that, you know, you can't necessarily apply stuff that was written in, you know, the 30s and the 40s to what's going on today. And then if you're not a native Italian reader speaker, you know, now you're at the mercy of the translation of what that original person said. And you know, I get upset when people who don't have an understanding of the philosophy, you know, hang the shingle, like you said. You know, a lot of Montessori schools charge a lot of money and they think that it's for the rich kids, and that's the complete opposite as to why, you know, that was initially started. And to your Reggio point, I mean, you don't become Reggio because you throw your clocks away and have an art room and hang Pelon from the ceiling and have baskets in your classroom and bring in pine cones and sticks. And it makes me crazy when I see shit like that.
No, you have to be in Reggio and do all that stuff. Then are you Reggio?
Well, Reggio is a town, if you're in that town, listening, are you automatically Reggio because you live in Reggio Emilia?
And do all that other stuff.
I would say probably not.
But you're a Reggio program because you're in Reggio.
Where are you going with this?
I don't know. Just trying to dig into the little bits and pieces of the conversation.
Well, I don't know. I've never been over there. I've never seen a program. I've never even heard about a program in Reggio Emilia claiming to be Reggio that wouldn't really be Reggio. I mean, they're pretty good at slapping down American programs pretending to be Reggio. I'm quite confident they'd probably have no problem doing that with a program anywhere.
I think we go to Reggio and we open a Montessori program. See how that goes over.
Oh my gosh.
No?
Okay, so circle back to what I just said. A lot of the things that you see, aside from the fact that, you know, would there be elements of what Montessori philosophy is evident in Reggio? Of course. Are there elements of Piaget? Of course. Are there elements of Dewey? Of course. Because none of that stuff was translated in enough time. So it was delayed for Malaguzzi to read it. So there's an element of, oh my gosh, wow, this is kind of American progressive education had it actually been allowed to be something and not get squished here in our own culture. So, I mean, I don't necessarily have a rant other than you just stop. The United States is very guilty of jumping on to ban, you know, we jump on the bandwagon of educational philosophies, especially things that come out of Italy. We love it, you know, and why is that? I don't know. That would be digging really deep into the kind of the psyches of people in American early childhood education. But I think sometimes it appears like the grass is greener, right? Like, look what they're doing over there. Oh my God, wouldn't it be awesome if we could do that here? Well, instead of thinking what you can't do, start focusing on what would work here.
I got it.
You do? Yeah.
We like pizza here. Right?
So that makes you an Italian connoisseur.
Well, no, we like their pizza. And so we figured, hey, Italy got pizza. I mean, they figured that out. Maybe since they did pizza right, maybe they do this the way they take care of their children's right. Maybe? Huh? No?
So you're comparing kids to pizza?
No, I'm just saying, you know, we like pizza and so we're going to be all into their pizza. And since they did this one thing real good, they might do this other thing really good. And so let's do this other thing the way they do it.
Mm, yeah, kind of limiting. No.
Okay, I just thrown it out there. I thought it might be a thing.
Mm, I don't know.
Tomato sauce, maybe? No?
No,
okay.
No.
Okay, so which one of all these different philosophies, which one's right?
Well, that's a tricky question.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're here for.
We are here for that. I think there are elements of all of them that when you blend them together, it would make a good program.
Yeah. I would even say
that with us. I mean, a play-based philosophy, does that mean it's always right? Well, a good play-based philosophy steals a lot of the awesome things from these existing, mindsets.
Yeah, yeah. I think people are drawn to whether it's a Montessori or Reggio or whatever Waldorf. They're drawn. They want to be part of a tribe. And because we're tribal creatures, and so they like to glom onto that. I think in reality, though, I'd be happier if programs would have a philosophy.
Oh, I agree.
That is uniform for the infant room, and then the other infant room, and the toddler room, and having that consistency, and then hiring people and training them up on what that program's philosophy was, so that they could articulate and put it into practice efficiently and effectively. I
agree, and I think that's actually very representative of what we talk about a lot. Even just thinking about some of the episodes we've recorded in the last couple of weeks, it doesn't matter. This doesn't mean you're good just because it says it's this philosophy. Even though the social perception might be, oh my gosh, because I pay a lot of money, this is what my kids are going to be, so advanced. Da, 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 da. That doesn't mean squat.
Yeah, and.
How do we make sure that we get everybody under the same roof on the same page? And whether you're aligned with a single existing philosophy or not, or whether you're more eclectic, let's get everybody on the same page and spend the same time and effort and energy into making sure that our staff can talk eloquently about what we do believe in and what we are doing here.
Yeah, and having that continuity and putting it into practice. And I mean, we're not just talking about getting it written down right in the parent handbook and in the program brochure. It's about putting it into practice, and that's lacking in a lot of programs, as you can see by going back and listening to the 9 episodes we've done on stupid rules. So,
in your experience, do you have any memories of being influenced in your own work by certain existing philosophies?
Oh, well, yeah, probably. I think I'm too easily influenced. I'm influenced by everything I pick up and read, one way or another. I think we take, like Montessori, we take and turn these people into saints, a little bit. I mean, Vygotsky.
Lev.
Yeah.
I'm on a first name basis.
Hey, Lev. And then I don't know if in 30 years it's going to be Peter Gray or John Medina or Lisa Murphy or whatever it is. They're people and they had ideas and then.
But we can benefit.
They died and we can benefit from them and build on them. And I think, some people could just get so tied into that name and that thing and that brand, the Montessori brand, the Reggio brand. And I think we need to see beyond that.
And thou shalt not deviate, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I like the idea of picking and choosing the bits and pieces that work.
When I was in undergrad and I was in the human services and counseling, we learned about all the existing, the main therapists, right? And you learn about Skinner and you learn about Freud and Bronfenbrenner and all that kind of stuff. And then there was this like last hodgepodge model called, eclectic. And I was like, oh, all day long.
I'll take what she's having.
All day long. And there was a little bit of that us and them, you would have that hierarchy of the behaviorists versus the human centeredness and versus and versus and versus. And when I kind of jumped in with early childhood, I saw an element of that as well, the thing I also want to point out that concerns me is that sometimes being aligned with that existing philosophy, I think, implies permission that you don't have to think for yourself, right? You can just kind of default to the dogma of that particular way of thinking, and that just makes me nervous. And I would go so far as to say that makes me nervous, even if people might be claiming to be aligned with what you and I might be out there talking about.
Yeah.
You know, like I would be like, whoa, you know,
it starts feeling a little culty.
Yeah. I want to make sure that the people in the profession hold on to their ability to think for themselves, because there are always going to be situations where even the most dyed-in-the-wool play-oriented person is going to be, you know what, like right now I need to rein this in a little bit. Or even like the way Christine said in the interview that we had a couple episodes ago, where she talked about that there could be times on any given day where you find that your program might, for whatever reason, be swinging between, you know, the chaos to the, you know, anarchy, or excuse me. Sorry.
Wow.
That's not a very big
thing. And like chaos and anarchy on one end, and that very, you know, I don't even know what it was. It was overly structured, like that overly controlling, and that we're always trying to get towards the middle. And you know, at that moment, I would never want to know that, or ever want to think that somebody was like, but she always said that you gotta blah, 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 when in that particular moment, that way of thinking doesn't apply, and it's not in the highest and best interest of whoever's in front of you.
Yeah, I think, I just wish people would be willing to actually have, not only live their, but actually have a philosophy, because I think too many people are in this profession, because we talk about it too much, probably, they're warm bodies, and they don't even take the time to think about what they believe, because they're just passing through, or it's just a job, or whatever.
But that is potentially a reflection on, if there is an administrative team, you know, the fact that we're tolerating poor practice. And I would say it doesn't matter what philosophy, if any, you're aligned with. If you're not able to articulate what you believe in,
yeah,
would you say that you're lacking a philosophy?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So you could have, even in the presence of an existing stated philosophy, you could have people within it who have chosen to not subscribe to it, or they don't believe in it, or they just think it's a bunch of bunk, blah, 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 blah. Well, then in that situation, you gotta, you know, find somebody who does.
Find a warmer body.
But then conversations that I've had in the last couple of, probably 6 months, areas of smaller towns, mm-hmm, who've actually at the end of the conference, and they're like helping me pack up or wash up or whatever, and they're saying, you know, it's hard, Lisa, because we have a wide geographical radius,
mm-hmm,
and this is the best that I'm going to get.
Yep.
You know, so what do you do, mm-hmm, with that reality check? You know, this is all I got. If we're going to continue to provide service, I got to make do with this. So I would say, okay, at that point, then you got to bone up on what you're expecting from these people and be really clear about it.
Yeah, maybe that's when it becomes most important to have a very clear philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And something that you can bring people back to,
mm-hmm,
you know, and
that
I think
touch
you,
point.
Yeah, and if you have people who don't bring maybe a lot of knowledge or in-depth understanding of some of this stuff, I think there's room for maybe tapping them to help you brainstorm one. You know, saying that I have a philosophy doesn't mean that you're necessarily going out and saying, you know, we're Dewey or we're Piaget or we're whatever. It might just be that this is what we believe in. So that philosophy statement, that mission statement, could in fact be cultivated by the people who are working there.
Yeah.
I feel like you've lost interest in this.
Oh, I was just thinking about the flip side.
Which is?
People that, you know, we've been talking about people that don't have philosophies or can't articulate the philosophies. What about the people that all they talk about is philosophy? And they're, I don't know, maybe it's their way of geeking out. They get very deep and esoteric into the minutia of their philosophy or all philosophies, and to me that's just about as annoying as not having any. Is that just me? Because I'm
no, and actually a colleague that I used to work with, she kind of had the same. She wrote an article actually about, you know, the person you have on staff that knows absolutely nothing about anything, and then the other staff member who is like, unless you know, every phrase you say, she links it back to, mm-hmm. you know, well, according to Piaget, and it's like, oh my God, who is the worst here?
You
know,
who do I want to hire first?
Right? and so again, coming back to that center, you know, you want to maybe build up the knowledge of this person, and you need to tell this chick to dial it down a notch because you're alienating your colleagues.
Do you get annoyed by the one that needs to dial it down a notch too?
Or is that just me? It depends. No, in my world, it depends. It is your need to always show us maybe what you know.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
That of course, is going to get in the way, you know, but...
Yeah, some people are just really...
Are you wanting me to just see that you know your stuff?
Yeah.
If I get that from you, I might pull you aside and say, you know what? We get it. You know a lot about stuff. Let's start having relationships with the people that you're working with. We know you have an awesome relationship with Vygotsky. Apparently you know everything about him. And that's incredible.
That was a great show. Remember that show?
What? That's incredible? That's incredible. Yes.
That was a great show.
Gifford. That was it. Wasn't it a Gifford?
I think it was.
And that one guy that was a football player.
Fran Tarkington.
Yeah.
Was it them? Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Dang.
There's That's Incredible, and there's another one that they, like, started another network that copied it. But that we'll have to do an old TV show episode.
Done one of
those in a long time. Any more philosophy stuff we want to philosophize on?
Well, Crosby.
Okay. Yes, an update for people who've been listening for a while. Grandbaby has a new Mimi. We know that her Mimi, her blanket, is her lovey, her whoobie. And apparently there's been a new Mimi made in case the other Mimi, I don't know, goes to a convention or something. Or the wash. And so there's an auxiliary backup Mimi in existence now. And Rowan is very excited about that. Or we could talk about what we were talking about. Thanks for stopping by, Lisa Murphy.
I think that any time we're overly rigid in our application, or if perhaps we try and make every situation unfolding have to always reflect a certain belief system, that I think that could be a little tricky.
Yeah.
And I think it could also bring us out of the moment of what's actually happening. You know, if I always have to have some kind of philosophical justification for everything.
Instead of just being
with the kids, you know?
Yeah.
I always want that balance. I mean, if I was, you know, had the magic wand, I would want to make sure that everybody working in the profession had just a very basic understanding of the key contributions of the main players. That's really it. I don't need you to be aligned with any of them 100%. I don't need you to know the dates of when they were created. But I think an understanding that when you're doing what's right and best, you kind of go, oh my gosh, they were all kind of reinforcing each other. There was affirmation, you know, the way that we're talking about on the podcast of being with kids and families. This is not new. It's not some new way of being, but it is what is reflected in our history and in what best practice looks like. And I think that knowledge allows for more collaborative conversation. I see a lot of that us them, or that, oh, I'm not that. Oh my God, I would never be that. I'm not Montessori.
Clutching.
Yeah, you are, because you have child-sized stuff in your classroom that didn't exist. Okay, so, you know, it's like, calm down with the black, white, us, them nonsense, and realize that if we're doing it right, we are benefiting.
And so maybe what we need to do is to do episodes, kind of a Montessori primer, a Reggio primer episode.
Did we talk about that and never did it?
Or? Oh, yeah, we've talked. But we talk about lots of stuff and never do it, so we can't beat ourselves up. Yeah, we've talked about it, but we haven't done it. But that might be a good new series to start with.
See, now that geeks me out, because, you know, you two know, that's one of the reasons I got my master's degree, was I would love to do a history of early childhood educator. You're like,
well, we'll put that
main guys.
We'll put that in the notes, because I think that would be not only fun but beneficial.
Sweet.
And you know, since if you want to, you can get CEUs for listening to the podcast now. That might be something people
those would be good ones. Yeah.
That might be something people wanna tune in for. So should we wrap this one up, or anything else we gotta go here? Or
I'm
are
good.
We good?
Yeah, good, good.
We're good?
Yeah.
Hey people, why don't you take a deep breath? life is long or not.
Oh, jeez.
Life is hard or easy. I don't know what I was going to say. No, I was just going to spew out some bullshit to wrap up the show, but I can't think of anything. So we'll go with the usual. We really do appreciate you tuning into the show and listening. And it means a lot to us when we get nice comments from you and hear from you and hear that the program has made you think about something. And you don't have to think the way we think. We just like that you, are thinking. And, you know, whatever your philosophy, enjoy it and live it and integrate it into your life, I guess, into your program. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Say bye-bye.
Bye.
Say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.